Fountains of living water breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through his servant. Be blessed.
We give you glory, Jesus. We give you thanks, Jesus. We lift up your name and bless your holy name. We hail you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. We give you adoration. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are gathered in your name. We are gathered by your calling. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. We are grateful for your mercies that we have found, your tender mercies that are new every morning, your faithfulness that is everlasting. Thank you, Lord God, for your blessings, innumerous blessings, through the ministry of the word, through the auspices of the power of the gospel. Thank you for shaping our lives by your word, transforming our souls by your word, setting us free from the clutches of sin and death by your word. We thank you for the transformative effect of your word upon our souls, the progressive saving of our souls. We are grateful. We stand here grateful this morning of your immense grace that we have enjoyed as an assembly, as a people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for always shining light in the midst of darkness and always guiding us as your people, leading us from one season to another season of understanding. We are grateful. And so, Lord, we receive your mercy this morning. Jesus, I recognize your headship over this house. I recognize your headship over my life. I recognize your authority as the great teacher, as the minister of the New Testament, the first minister of the New Testament, the speaker of the things of God to man. And so, Lord, we come under you this morning, and I receive your grace. Let there be sufficient flow of grace from you through me to your people. Lord, I ask for understanding to every heart. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Lord, let your word have entrance into every heart. Let there be clarity of thought. Let there be clarity of delivery. Let every heart be established in grace. Lord, I pray that these words also will be witnessed with signs and wonders, miracles and healings. The Lord, there will be miraculous interventions and healings in the life of your people. For those that are sick, that Lord, they will receive healing in their bodies also. For those that need a miracle, the Lord, that you will intervene in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord God, that every heart be edified and you alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, and the people said amen. Let's have a seat in God's wonderful presence. Good morning, church. Okay. Like I said, we have been doing a teaching on prayer. And at times, you know, even as a senior pastor of the church, we have to take Bible study because, you know, there is a sense that, okay, maybe word of righteousness minister, when you are deep, you leave some things. There's nothing like that, though. It's just an assumption. You just make an. You don't leave some things. There is every. As a senior pastor of the church, there are times that you have to do the work of. You do a pastoral work by teaching the fundamentals of the faith again and again in a different context. Now we are teaching prayer. Prayer is very important. It's an important subject. And like I was telling, I think it was my wife I was telling, I'm just coming to discover some things myself about prayer. I'm telling you. after so many years, over 3 decades. And then I'm still learning at the Lord's feet concerning prayer. So you can't approach the Lord with a mind that you know things, because light is progressive. What did I say? So like I said, if light is progressive, the way we approach prayer must also be progressive. Can we all say amen to that? Okay, particularly in the light of the present word of righteousness and the preaching of the everlasting gospel, there has to be a progressive understanding of prayer. Of course, it has also be built on the template of scripture. Now, one of my major concerns is, apart from the fact that I'm a pastor, by the grace of God, of this assembly, and by the grace of God, I'm also a minister in the body, I have also a desire for accuracy. Accuracy of truth according to scripture. There are a lot of things that are taught that you may not be able to trace their origin from scripture. I have problems with that. Okay? If your prayer theology or your prayer demonstration or your prayer whatever cannot be traced to the teaching of Jesus Christ and his apostles, and then I have problems with that. Okay? I have problems with that. Okay? So, and that's why we are going back again into scripture and we are laying understanding for you to be effective in prayer. Can we say amen to that? So we have been teaching, and let me just say one or two things I said last week, last 2 weeks. I'm in this teaching, I'm more particular, because I've done a lot of teachings on prayer. You can get them. But in this particular series of teaching, I'm more particular about generating sufficient power. Can we all say that? You are not saying that with me. I am particular about effectiveness in prayer. Okay? Because you can pray and you are not praying effectively. Or you are praying and you are not generating sufficient power to cause a transformative effect both in your life and in the circumstances around you. Okay? Prayer is very fundamental, like I said, to our walk with God. Prayer is integral to our walk with God. So you can't say walk of God, or walk with God, walk of faith, walk of love, responding to God, and edit prayer. Okay, prayer is part of that constituent, of that compound when it comes to our walk with God. Can we say amen? So, like I said, we have to generate sufficient power. Like it was said in James, it says the effectual fervent. Can we all say that again? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So prayer must be effectual and fervent. Effectually fervent. So prayer that is not fervent will not generate power. Okay? What did I say? Now, the fervency of prayer is not how loud you shout in prayer, or how cool you are in prayer. Those things are different in different scenarios of prayer. I don't believe that people should not be responsive in prayer anyway. And that when they are praying and they are just not responding, that's an extreme. However, the fervency of prayer cannot be judged by just the physical movement of the body, by the dexterity of the body, by how you move your body, by how you shake your neck, by how you couch, or by the silence. Some people believe that prayer is powerful when I just am very silent before God. Now, those things are not exactly, because when you look at those things from scripture, you don't build theology on things that are not consistent with scripture. The fervency of prayer is tied to your understanding. Write that down again. The fervency of prayer is tied to your understanding. Understanding of the protocols of accessing God. That's it. So fervency is tied to understanding. Fervency is tied to understanding how you know God. And that's why the basis of prayer is fundamental to knowing God. Prayer is fundamental to knowing God. The trust of prayer should not be to get result alone. Because your desire to pray should not be because you want results from God. Now, getting results from God is part of the experience of prayer. Okay? And more than you desire, God also wants to God, more than you know, God wants to answer prayers or wants to bless us with things. However, prayer is more than that. The whole process of prayer is transformative. What did I say? So prayer has a transformative effect on your soul. Praying changes you. You need to understand that. That's why when you don't pray, it's like you don't know that prayer changes you. Prayer does not change God. Prayer changes you. And prayer gets God involved in the issues of your life. Okay? Prayer changes you. So prayer in itself has a transformative effect. And like I've taught you in other series of prayer, I've taught that the foundation of prayer is communion and fellowship with God. I call it communion prayer. It's a foundation of prayer. When Jesus was teaching about prayer, the first thing he said is that when you want to pray to God, go into the secret place. And Jesus is not speaking literally about you closing a physical door. He's talking about you shutting off distractions and accessing God in the secret place. Now, you don't access God in the secret place without understanding. Can we say amen? Without revelation of God. Without revelation of God's person. So all those things are what frames your access in the place of prayer. So the foundation of prayer is communion and fellowship with God. Knowing God. That's why we pray. We pray because we want to know God more. What did I say we pray? It's part of our knowing God. Our response to God. But beyond that, prayer itself has, like I said, a transformative effect on your soul. So even though you will get your prayers answered, you will get results for prayer. Okay, God will answer you depending on what you are trusting the Lord for. The most important thing is not just that result. It's in the fact that you changed while learning the heart of prayer. Very important. Can we all say amen to that? So let's see. So this morning I want to establish some new things. Okay. Let's see Matthew 7. I can't even finish this prayer series. If I take it for 3 months, we'll still keep teaching it. That's how vast prayer is. So let's see Matthew 7. Yes, thank you for taking me there. So, I've been concerned about patterns of prayer consistent with scripture. Now, the first thing I will say is that we must learn to build our prayer pattern on the template of what Jesus and the apostles taught. That's the first thing. What did I say? We must learn to build our prayer pattern on what Jesus and the apostles taught. That's fundamental. Okay? We should never forget that. Okay? No matter how cultural your prayer experience is, no matter what you have learned concerning prayer in the past, and there are times that we have prayed with insufficient understanding and we got results, that does not mean that prayer pattern is okay. Okay? The days of ignorance, God has winked at. God is calling us to accuracy. Can we say amen? So that's the first thing I will say. And when it comes to prayer, according to what Jesus taught and the apostles taught, we'll find out that there is an order to prayer. Can we say amen? Amen. For instance, when you check the epistles, the fathers of faith, the late Kennedy again, of blessed memory, taught in those times while he was alive that people should pray epistle prayers. Very fundamental. And one of the reasons why I perceive that Baba said so is that the epistles were written to the New Testament church. What did I say? So when you want to develop your prayer philosophy, it has to be rooted to what Jesus, the communication of letters to the church. And so you cannot build your prayer philosophy on the Old Testament. Not like the Old Testament is bad, but you have to see the Old Testament through the New Testament. What did I say? Because I know many things that goes on, fire prayer, call down fire, some kind of things that we do. And then there's almost nothing that you cannot trace into Bible. But I'm telling you how you interpret things in scripture that you need New Testament lenses to interpret things. Can we say amen? Amen. So prayer must be done as Jesus taught. Like we have said, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Then we saw prayer pattern in the epistles. You could see the thrust of prayer focus in the epistles. That should frame your understanding. As a Christian, if you began that way, you're going to do well. I remember that I learned that very early, to pray with scriptures. I learned that very, and I thank God I learned that, because that goes a whole long way to help your walk with God. Yes, your walk with God will be stable and balanced if you learn to pray with scriptures. Okay, so I remember growing up as a young Christian, I had a book that had a whole lot of scriptures. Much of them were epistles. And I led prayer from then in our local church, because I used to lead prayer like what Bright did this morning. I did that for years. And not just led prayers, but also prayed according to scripture. So I also understand that no wonder a particular time came. I said there had been revelation in the word. Yes, there was revelation. There was understanding of the scripture, because we're praying the scripture. So at least fundamentally, okay, if you want to gain understanding of scripture, you pray scripture. Oh, you didn't hear me. What did I say? You begin by praying the scripture. I call them a peaceful prayer. Okay? So in Matthew 7, we see that there's something I call the Acts principle. Acts. Acts. If you break that word hacks, you see acts, seek, and knock. Even from the word hacks. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. I like that. He said, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall what? Be opened. So you can see, Jesus is giving you like a blank check. Okay? Of what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? So you can see, you can't be asking bread, and God will give you a stone. Okay? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give what? Good things to them that ask him. Now, give me another translation for this. Probably an Amplified or an NLT version. Thank you. That last verse. I don't want you. That particular verse. The last one. Okay? If then, you then, evil, sinful by nature, as you are, know how to give what? Good and advantageous gift to your children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, what give what is good and what advantages to those that what keep on? That's where I'm going. Keep on. So there is something, a principle I want to bring out in prayer, is what I call persistence. You can write it down. The principle of persistence. Keep on. Persistence in prayer. Continual in prayer. I can tell you. Now, you don't say persistence is not just praying every day. It includes it. It's praying accurately. A lot of people pray in unbelief. Oh, you didn't hear me. So if you are judging persistence in prayer or continual in prayer by praying every day, you may miss it. For some people, they are praying religiously. They are praying out of unbelief. They are praying, but they don't believe in what they are praying. Or they are praying that they don't have understanding of who they are praying to. It's still the same thing. Can we say amen? Uh-huh. So I like that. So I like the Acts principle. It's very fundamental. You must know this. Okay? Ask, seek, and knock are faces of pressing in prayer according to God's will. Ask, seek, and knock are faces of pressing in prayer according to God's will. Now, like I've taught you, that you cannot ask without knowing it is according to his will. It's very important. That's how to approach God. You come to him with your strong reasons. Those strong reasons are based on his will. Now, and that is very fundamental, because by the time you screen some of the things that we ask God in prayer, many of them are rooted in personal desires. Or let me not even use personal desires. God is not against personal. Let me use the word lustful desires. Okay? Things that are vain. Okay? So you to settle down in prayer, because part of the process of praying is also meditation. And meditating and reflecting on the promises of God. You have to reflect and meditate on the promises of God. Because The first point of prayer is that I'm praying according to His will. What did I say is the first point of prayer? Now, a lot of people just use the word that, okay, whatever you desire. But I'm telling you that your desires have to be framed according to God's will. Your desires have to be framed according to God's plan for you. So, if I am motivated by covetousness, based not on the program of God for me, I cannot approach God with a covetous heart. Okay? I'm motivated by envy. I'm motivated by, you know, some people go and pray because maybe you went somewhere. Let me just use that as an example. And, you know, somebody used their own car to show you. You understand? Maybe you went somewhere and somebody used Jeep to oppress you. And then you say, God, my own God can also give me. So you went to pray that God, when is my own coming? You know, all of us do those kind of things at every level. I'm just using cars as an example. Your motivation for prayer is not according to the will. It's according to the movement of, or according to the movement around somebody else's life. It has nothing to do with God's will. Okay? Some people suddenly realize that God is not good to them because of another person. That God, so because, where have you, you have forgotten me. The only reason why you are saying that, it's as if God is remembering somebody around you. And God forgets you. Now, fundamentally, if you don't know God, you don't know that fundamentally God is good. His nature is good. God is not the kind of person that forgets people. Amen. Amen. And we need to treat these areas. God is not the kind of, because if you don't know all these things, you won't do well with the word of righteousness. You'll be thinking that, that's why some people have not been able, some people felt that Pastor Bidge is hard. He's always teaching suffering. It's because inside them, they feel they don't have a good image of who God is. They don't know that God, even the old desire of God, taking you through denials, is because He loves you. So there's nothing that is evil about God. What did I say? So when you understand that, you are confident when you are praying, that even when you are praying according to His will, you are confident, you approach that God on that confident that God hears prayers. And if God does not hear a prayer, it means He does not want it for you. If God does not want something for you, you should not want it. Oh yes. If God does not want something for you, you should not want it. You should not even desire it. Because you know that He has the best plans for you. The thoughts of God for you are good and they are not evil. To give you what? A future and a hope and expected end. Can we all say amen to that? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. So, ask, seek, and find. They define our phases of pressing to God in prayer. They capture different levels of persistence and faith in prayer. They capture different levels of... So, I think that if I'm going to look at it, they look the same. Ask, seek, and find. But they are also very unique. The peak of asking is knocking. When you are knocking, you know what it means to knock on the door. When you knock for a door, what does it mean? Eh? He's expecting to be open. He's able to come and knock on a door. Is an invitation to knock on a door is a journey. For you to get to the point where you can knock on a door, it means you have asked and you have sought and then you are knocking. And at that stage, it's like the last phase. That's like the last phase of prayer when you are knocking. You know, there's nothing called banging in the Bible. Say, bang heaven's door. You know that? But you just knock. That knock is just, it's a peak of a phase of prayer. That you have persisted in prayer. You have stood in prayer in faith. And you have journeyed from asking to seeking. I like the word, everybody say seek. That word seek has to do with seeking the will of God. Not seeking your own plan, but God's interest in a matter. And then you are knocking. And that is the peak of prayer. Prayer is being culminated at that phase where you are knocking. And I found out that persistence in prayer is attached to faith. Let's see Luke 18. Are we all here? Everybody say persistence in prayer is attached to faith. You are not answering me. Can we say amen? Amen. We're in scripture, in this scripture, we see a connection between faith and prayer. It means that people lose faith in prayer. A lot of people give up, like I said last week. A lot of people say, in church meetings, prayer meetings are the least attended. Go and check in most churches. And where prayer is much attended is prayer, miracle prayer. Go and check it. Where there is no word, miracle prayer. That's where you see people. You see a lot of people. Eh? But when it comes to praying with understanding, a lot of people don't. So, you see, many people you see on those badura, you see, it is that for them, prayer is more of a what you fall back on when there's trouble. Prayer is not a daily thing. Fellowship with the God that you know. Because if you fellowship with the God that you know, your mountain is not in a physical place. Your mountain is where? In the spirit. Because by daily prayer, you mount up. Can we say amen? Amen. What did I say? You mount up both in your knowing God, you know God yourself. In the New Testament, there's nothing such as a prayer contract or a prayer minister that takes prayer for you and prays on your behalf to God. Now, your pastors can pray for you. They can join you in prayer. They can even pray for you. But it is designed for you to know how to pray. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. We have to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. So, look at verse 18, verse 1. It says, he spake a parable unto this end, that men always ought to pray and not to faint. Look at that. So when men faint, it's because they are losing faith in the power of, they are losing faith in a powerful God. You are losing faith in a powerful God, a God that can move in impossible situation and circumstances. So saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming shall weary me. She weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Look at that. Shall not God avenge his own elect? Can we say amen? Which cry what? Day and night unto him, though what? He bear long with them. I tell you, when he shall avenge them out speedily. That idea of day and night is what I told you last week about prayer. Let me remind you, just pause there. I taught you three things about prayer. Okay, I said prayer must be what? Prayer must be what? Consistent. Prayer must be what? Intermittent. And prayer must be what? Uninterrupted. Can we say that? Prayer must be what? Consistent. So I said in consistent prayer, pray every day. Now I will challenge you at least minimum of an hour. Minimum of 1 hour prayer. As a pastor, I know I'm grace for 1 hour. Then start with 30 minutes. Okay? But you should have a discipline to have a time of prayer with God every day. You know, you can tight your time because I know you have other things to do. If you tight your time, 24 hours is about roughly 3 hours a day. You pray out of that hour and spend time in fellowshipping with God. Okay? That's not a bad way, it's just time management. You can now do better than that. Like some of you, you do more than 10% tight. Praise God. But start from somewhere. Tell your neighbor, say, start from somewhere. So start by tightening your day. Don't sleep all day. Don't sleep much hour of the day. Your sleep should not be more than 6 hours. You cannot afford to be sleeping more than 6 hours. Once in a while, at times when your body is tired, you can do more. But if you are sleeping, and then don't sleep well also. Some people, they don't sleep at all. They sleep 3 hours. You see people outside of the country, they work hard. They sleep 3-4 hours. Because they are running shifts of job, they don't sleep. So that one will also affect your body. Can you say amen? Amen. But I think 6 hours is not bad. Or what do you think? 5-6 hours. Okay for your body every day. Then you have time for work. You have time for other things, productive things in the day. But you have about 3 solid hours that you can use and separate unto God. I think that will be honorable. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And out of that time, you have a minimum of 1 hour that you used to pray. Minimum, you can do more. But just have that as minimum, because I need to help some people to at least give them a little bit of guidance. Okay? Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
So you pray continually or consistently every day. Once in a while you may miss it, but don't make it an habit. What did I say? Don't make it an habit of missing time of prayer. It's not a good habit. It's not a good culture for the soul. Then pray intermittently in the day. Now, how you pray intermittently is that you are learning the heart of meditation of the word throughout the day. Okay? So when you are meditating, meditation also on God's word or what you are taught is like praying through your thoughts. Amen. It's like engaging. Some of us, we disengage. The only time we engage is when we come. Listen. It's good to all. You see, it's good to jot, but you cannot afford that the only time you now see this jotter is the next week Sunday. Nobody grows that way. So you have to learn within the day to engage some of the things that you are taught or some of the things that God lays in your heart. There has to be consistent engagement, what you call meditation. I've taught you that. David called it Selah. There's something called Selah in scripture. It's called pause and meditate. So throughout the day, there has to be that consistent pondering upon the word of God, pondering upon the speakings of God, pondering upon God's will for you and the promises of God. When you are doing that, you'll be praying through your thoughts. You will have what I call intermittent prayer. Can we say amen? At times, you can even burst in tongues within the day. If you are at home, if you are at work, you pray beneath your breath. Hallelujah. You can pray beneath your breath without causing nuisance to your colleagues at work. Am I making sense? And then the last one, pray undistracted. So when you are praying, minimize distraction so that it's part of honoring God. You can't be talking to God and talking to people at the same time. You know what I'm talking about? That. So undistracted. So you must understand those three principles in prayer. Okay? Then like I'm building also on this, that Jesus now said in verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find what? Faith on earth. So Jesus taught faith through prayer. So part of knowing people that have faith is how effectual they are, what? In prayer. People lose faith. When people lose faith, it's first seen in their prayer life. They don't pray fervently. They can be praying religiously, but they don't pray fervently. The fervency is lost. Okay? Because they have lost hope in God. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Glory to God. So one of the reasons now, the reason why we are persistent in prayer is not because we really need to get God's attention. Like that God is so difficult to get attention. You have to talk, pray, because you need to get God's attention. It's not like really like that. It's not like God is. God has ways that you must understand. You know, some people talk God like God blocks his ears. And that you have to pray so much that you now, when the prayer is hot, oh no, of course, you know what? God is not like that. Tell your neighbor, say, God is not like that. He's not that kind of person. I can tell you, he's not that kind of person. My wife was telling me something yesterday. I don't know, we were talking, and she was saying that she was just saying that, do you know that God has a heart for everybody? Do you know that God has heart for, God does not just have heart for Christians. The way some people think that God is only looking at Christians, if you're not a Christian, God will pray, you say, go and get born again. God is not like that. God hears prayers, of people that don't even know him at a level. There is a dimension of God that gives them things based. God caters for every man on the earth. God has plans. God has. Do you know that all those people that are going through that are suffering affliction upon humanity, it touches God. And you know, a lot of people are blaming God for the evils on the earth. That why did God allow it? There are a lot of things that maybe I'll have time to teach that, because people don't understand how the earth runs. What wrong that happens on the earth is not God's fault.
Yes, sir.
Let me say that again. Every wrong that happens is not God's fault. God has given the heads to man to manage the earth. So there are even things that God himself wants to do that you'll be limited if man does not agree. Oh, you didn't hear that? Yes, he's a sovereign God, but he can be limited in moving on the earth if he does not get a people that will agree with him. That's why Jesus prayed that his will be done what? On earth, as it is done what? In heaven. So the idea of persistence in prayer is not to really get God's attention. Almost like God is not hearing us. We have to talk to him. You know, it's not like that. He wants to hear. Tell your neighbor, say, God wants to hear. But there's just a way you have to approach him. You have to approach him on the template of certain protocols of his nature. That's number one. Number two. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It's good for you to understand that. Number two. Prayer changes you. You see, that experience of praying is transformative. It changes you. So God also wants you to be changed. When you go through the prayer journey, I call it prayer journey. That praying daily and praying daily has something it does to your soul. It teaches you to be dependent on God. Hallelujah. And if there's peradventure at one point in your life, it seems as if God was deaf. It's not like he is a deaf God. God needs your own attention. It's not about you getting his attention. He is the one looking for what? Your own attention. You know that there's a way God gets your attention. When things are bad. It's not like he just needs your attention. And he wants to. So, at times, God is looking in your life. It's not to give you the answer. He wants you to change. So that by the time the answer will come, you can manage it. So, like somebody that is asking for a child. And it's as if God has not answered. It doesn't cost God anything to give you a child. But you don't know the kind of child God wants to give you. Remember the story of Hannah in scripture and Peninnah. You know that God truly wanted to bless Hannah with a special child. There was no way Hannah would have been able to not even release Samuel alone, even raise Samuel well, if she didn't go through that process of denial. So God is wise. So that process was what God used to get her attention and also prepare her for the kind of child she would have called Samuel. So God is not a wicked God. I need to pass this across. Some people have it in some. Sometimes, you know, we are religious. We will not say it, but we believe it in our hearts. We will not say it out because it looks like blasphemy. But you believe it in your heart. God is not good, Joe. Look at this and this in my life. God is not good. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, you are not saying amen.
Amen.
So, persistence in prayer changes you. Okay? And persistence in prayer is a measurement of faith. Secondly, one of the reasons why we persist in prayer, I'm building understanding. Are you following me?
Yes.
Is to deal with opposition both in us and without. The reasons why you persist in prayer at times, in faith, is to deal with opposition both in you and without you. What are the oppositions in you? Your natures, your flesh. You know, Jesus said that the spirit is what? But what? It was in reference to what? Prayer. Go and read that scripture very well. Pastor CJ, am I right, sir? It was in reference to prayer. The flesh is weak. Now, let me tell you something that the flesh does not like prayer. The flesh likes music. I learned that in church. I noticed that one of the reasons I didn't go to join choir, I'm not against choir. You know, I have music inside me. Prophetic music inside me. I didn't join choir. The reason why I didn't join was that they didn't like prayer. I didn't understand that. I used to fight them. I remember then, the choir head of my church, I would fight and say, come to prayer, intercessory prayer. When it comes to intercessory prayer, you'll be playing keyboard. I've got a meeting. Don't play keyboard. Pray. So we have to train choir differently. Can we say amen? It is choir people that should know word more and pray more. If not, you'll be singing rubbish. You'll be singing sonorous song that has no depth.
Like I was saying in Lagos, I said there are some songs I use it for exercise. Oh, you didn't get that. They are just good for exercise. And there are some songs when I want to dance, they are very good. I dance and use it for exercise. But I cannot ascend with them. There is a difference. I'm not saying God did not call those ones to. It's a level of ministry. In the Father's house, there are verses. Verses unto honor. Verses unto dishonor. So some music, they are good for bubbling. We don't want to do picnic, we bubble with it. But you know that there are some music when you want to pray. Hell! I don't even know that there are some music that helps you to pray. Just tune them on. Kapadi atastata. Eregodomeni atastata bonia fana. We need more of those guys in the church. Hallelujah. I like some guys. I like Pastor Larry's songs. It's good for prayer. I like Theophilus Danju, that Theophilus guy. I like his songs. Because he chant, chant, chant. I say, hey. Those guys, he will fire you. He will pray. We really need those guys. Or Victor Orenze. You have some people, they charge you. So prayer, so all those things, they help you to ascend. Yeah? So music has different purposes. So, but the issue is that, so that's one of the reasons I refrain from choir then. But I think that we need to raise our choir people differently now. They must be people of word and prayer. What did I say they must be? Pastor said, you make sure that they are praying every day. You can monitor it. When they come, ask them questions. Have you prayed this week? Have you prayed today? Ask them. Because somebody singing just feels that I don't need to be spiritual. Including those playing instruments. You think you should be less spiritual playing instruments? Huh? Oh, I've started this morning. Amen. If you are not praying and growing the word, we will take you away from instrument. Because you'll be releasing not wrong spirit. Spirit is buruku loma release. So I'm just showing you the place of persistence in prayer. So look at Daniel, for instance. Daniel's persistence in prayer was once ward those spirits in the air. So like I said, prayer deals with opposition within. That's your flesh. How does it deal with your flesh? Prayer helps you to obey the will of God when you are weak. So anytime you are weak and you don't want to do God's will, pray. That's when you should pray. You know that God, and I'm tempted. Maybe you need money to do some things in the family. And in your place of work, you have opportunity to yiwe. And then you are weak, already planned that you are going to yiwe. At that time, start praying. Because prayer will now strengthen your will so that you now do the right. Oh, any what? Oh, ni yiwe. Or something is tempting you to do the thing before marriage. And you are, the thing is pushing you, it's pushing you. When you can't be praying and show you understand what I'm talking about. To get here. Most of the time we are weak, we are prayerless. Believe me, most times that you are weak and you allow the enemy to take over you, you were prayerless. You are not praying. You were not praying sufficient. You were not generating enough power. Hallelujah. You can't hug a transformer, sir. Oh my goodness, sir. Neither can you see a fly perch on a hot beans. Beans are just bring out of fire. That is going off fairly. You now see a fly going to perch on it. It's not possible. So when you are fervent in the spirit in prayers, you have strength to obey the will of God. Yes, can we all say amen? Amen? Then again, prayer also deals with opposition without. Let me tell you, there are also spirits in here that resist prayer. Particularly prayer that have to do with prophetic purposes of God. The will of God. At times, we see that in the book of Daniel. Now, I'm sure that Daniel perceived that he needed to continue in prayer. Naturally, ideally, when you pray, you should give God thanks. But when you pray at times and you have a check in your spirit that you should pray more. Have you ever had that before? You prayed, but you feel that you have not prayed. Now at times, pray more in the day. And maybe if you have spent some hours in the day and that burden has not lifted, it means you are supposed to tarry in prayer for a certain period of days. Concerning that matter, it means you have to continue praying that prayer. There are some prayers I've prayed for weeks. Then the burden waned. If it's possible, you can go and get time off work 3 days and go and pray. It is possible if it's something that is heavy on your spirit. Because it may mean that there's something that the Lord wants you to do that you now need to commit yourself to. So Daniel stood in prayer posture for 21 days. Now, I hope you know that Daniel is not like he did not do anything for 21 days. You know, he was a government official. So Daniel went to work. He attended to government work, but he came back praying. So within that 3 weeks, he was not eating fine food. I think he ate, but he was not eating fine food. Maybe he just took fruits, light meal, and he was praying just for strength for 21 days. Unknowingly, and when they were in the air resisting that prayer. But he picked it. You know, at times you feel unrested in your spirit. That is a sign that you need to what? Tarry in prayer. Some of us are lazy. And because of that, great destinies and purposes have been aborted. Now, I'm not even talking about purposes of God in the bigger sense of the church and the nations of the earth. Even in your own life, you did not even have the strength to pray through concerning God's will. Until you came into a place of breakthrough and then you sense peace. Because a sign of breakthrough is peace on your soul. Even without God. God may not even give you a scripture, give you a prophetic word, but at least you will have that sense of peace. That's in Philippians chapter 4 from verse 6. The peace of God will garrison your heart. Can we say amen? Are we learning something? So that peace is an assurance that God has helped you. So you persist in prayer until you come into that place of an assurance. Some prayers are like that you have to tarry. Some prayer you have to stay for a long time. You know, these things you need to understand them. I saw one clip where Bishop Boke said he prayed. There was a time, I think it was a time of crisis in his ministry. He said he prayed and fasted continually, maybe for over a year. And then he prayed and prayed, and at the point come that at the middle of the night, the Lord called his name from you. He said, using a Yoruba, his Yoruba name. He said, it's only his mom or so that calls him that name at the middle of the night while he was praying. And the Lord says, I have heard you. I'm just answering. What if he did not wait in prayer? So the reason why I'm sure Baba persisted in prayer, he felt an unrest in his spirit that he had not broken through. He had not come into that place of assurance of peace. Because when you know God, you will know that you know that sense of peace that garrisons your heart. That, okay, God has heard. Even if the results does not manifest, peace is a sign that God has heard. And when you have peace, you enter into what? Thanksgiving. What did I say? Because God has done it. So there's also a place of persistence. A lot of believers fail in this. When you are lazy, you can't do anything. Even prayer, you'll not be able to pray through. You'll not be able to take a thing in the spirit and keep praying it. And keep praying it consistent until you hit a point where you know you have entered into rest. Many of us even have presumption. Now, I can even address that. Even when this is, I just know that thing is settled. How do you know? Let me ask you. Because you, how do you know? I just know, you know, he said to God, I settle it. Huh? Hallelujah. When you seek ye first the kingdom of God, everything, alaba. But has God given you a substance? Has God given you a peace concerning that matter? Do you have understanding sufficient to know that God has heard? You can't just live life on assumption. Faith is a substance. We run our life on substances. What did I say? I said. Let me not even break it down to issues of your life, in your family. What has God said concerning your economy? I want to tell you this because it's good to say things like this. There was a time in my family I prayed concerning our finances because I was disturbed. Things were not flowing the way I should. Feel it should flow. And I had to ask God, what is happening? What is happening in this area? And God says, don't raise this thing again. I've settled it. He told me another thing again. that assured me, like two things. I've never prayed concerning it since then. It's a settled matter. Why? Ask me why. I have a substance. I have a substance. I have a substance. God has said. Okay? You may have an health issue and you pray. You pray till you get a substance. And then God will speak concerning that health that He has healed you. And you hold that word as an assurance. We don't pray. You see, there's a way we pray and we make a lot of assumption. We don't pray and break through in the spirit. You know, you pray to a point where you will touch God. You will touch a word. You will touch something that is a source. Say, I know! This issue is settled. Amen. It's a settled issue. You can't disconnect prayer breakthrough from faith. It's a settled issue. You have prayed and you have touched a substance. You can't always be praying. And I think I need to teach this because some of us don't know. Because this I'm teaching are ways of fathers. You know how to tarry in prayer and wait on the Lord concerning a thing until clarity comes. Same thing for a business. The Lord can, you come to a place. Don't run your business without a substance. Don't run your business without a substance. You need a substance. What has God said concerning that business? What has God said? Do you have the word of God? Do you have an assurance of peace concerning that business that you are doing? Because the business will be tried by all circumstances. A time will come you want to close shop. But if God has said, then you would now, that is when you know, you now stand in faith. Can we say amen? Oh, I'm not hearing your amen. So you need to understand that we must secure there's a way you secure yourself in praying when you are persistent in prayer. So look at that, Philippians 4 verse 6, and the peace of God. This is the most fundamental one. When you are broken through in prayer, you have peace in your heart. There are things I have peace concerning. Can we say amen? Yes. There are sometimes I pray and I have peace concerning the matter. I know. I'm not bothered. I just know I'm just at rest concerning that matter. When the thing comes up, I am at rest because I have peace concerning it. So because that peace also is specific. What is that peace? It's an overwhelming peace that comes to your heart. Anytime that thought, the thought of that matter strikes you. A lady, you know, you are still waiting and no brother has come. Has God spoken to you? What has God said? When you have peace, you are not worried. Because you know that God has heard you. That's all. When you see somebody that is afraid, and remember, when it comes to an issue of a life, if you have anything right now, that when you think of it, you are afraid, you don't have a substance. It means you don't have a substance. You need to get a substance. What is a substance? Number one, you need to be able to meditate on the promises of God concerning that issue. Then you now pray accordingly. What has God said? What is God's will concerning that matter? You meditate on that promises and you approach God in prayer. You pray until a substance of God enters your spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm not hearing your amen.
Amen.
If not, you'll be afraid. You will not be secure in the love of God. When that thing comes into your mind, you'll be afraid. Ah, Olua, take me by me. Meaning God, my own don't catch me. What's the meaning of? What's the translation of take me by me? My own don't by me. You will live your life on fear. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So the peace of God that what? Passes, look at that. Be careful for nothing. The name says be careless. What it means is that be anxious. Don't be taken over by anxiety. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Be careful for nothing but what? In everything. Can we all say everything?
Everything.
Now for us, I want to say this particularly because now I'm also addressing a specific audience. See, when you hear me say some things, you are not me. If you hear me say, I don't pray for certain things, that does not cover for you. Because I have journeyed and come to the place where I don't need to pray. And God told me not to pray about it. Did God tell you not to pray about it? I don't pray for clothes anymore. I don't pray for certain things anymore. Some, even in ministry, in 11 years of church, I can tell you how many times I prayed for needs in the church. I prayed for some time, but I can tell you very few times. I just had faith that things will work. It's based on my walk with God. I've worked with God to a point I know that this thing is, I said to this, we have gotten things in this church that came absolutely on that. Okay? It may not be the same for you. We grow there. Because the Bible says in everything. So there's nothing you cannot pray about. And not praying about something is not spirituality. You can't prove to God that you are spiritual. You are trying to prove to God. No, God, I don't talk about this area. You are deceiving yourself. But you know that that thing is constituting a problem to you. I mean, you are hiding and say, when it comes to marriage, I did not pray. When it comes to marriage, me, I did not pray. I'm not sure about my wife, but for me, you pray. I did not pray. I did not pray that in the way people prayed. I just committed myself to following God and doing His will. Okay? And when that time came, God revealed it was easy. But it's not like that for everybody. Some people, God can lead you to pray. And we have people that God led them to pray and they prayed. And God gave them a substance. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So in everything, I'm just saying that don't limit yourself. Be free. At your stage, you need to understand that you will come to a time in your walk with God where certain things, you stop praying about it. But you have to grow. We must give you room to grow.
Amen.
Can we say amen? Amen? Because I know some of you stop praying some prayers that you shouldn't have stopped. You are following a pattern. Can we say amen?
Amen?
You know, we have to teach some things. I told Pastor Mika when we were saying this, I said, Pastor, at times, he was telling me some things. I said, we have to teach some of our experiences. I said, at times people make a mistake. Pastor Mika was teaching me, said, I plan financially too. I save. Some people may think. Pastor was talking to a brother. I said, do you save? He said, no. I said, why? He said, well, I think we don't save in this order. You are just over blow. Now, what does it mean? Now, a time can come in your life. Maybe there's no grace to do so. Maybe the money is not enough. But there are times when people, they are not, they think that planning or being prudent is not faith. So you can now see why we have to address all areas. Because of the way people hear. Can we say amen? So I said, that's why I'm saying my own, so that you hear. There are things I had grew over time. That I don't pray anymore because I came to a point where the Lord helped me to outgrow them. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So look at it again. Can you give me a more recent translation for this? Maybe an amplified. An amplified. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Same thing with tithing. Please, tithing is 10%. If you're going to tithe beyond that, be sure God spoke to you. You, there's no way you can prove to, you know, because I've had to counsel people on this. Be sure God spoke to you. Say you heard Idauza pay, he played 90%. Are you Idauza? It's 10% can. That's just the truth. People grow and God gives people specific instructions. Okay, you need to understand that. Can we say amen? And even if you are going to take my dealing as a pattern, God will lead you to do it. There's also leading of the Spirit. Okay? You need to understand these areas. Okay? So do not be anxious or worried about anything. But in what? Come on. In what?
Everything.
Now, every what? Circumstance and what? Situation. By what? Prayer and what? Petition. With what? Prayer, petition, thanksgiving. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving. In everything. So when you are worried about a matter, pray about it. It means that you don't have substance in that area. You don't have faith enough in that area. So you need to pray about it. If you are praying, maybe some people, some of you may be afraid that you can just die. It means that you don't have enough substance concerning the promises of God in what I call divine protection. So you need to go and get the promise of God concerning divine protection and then pray it till substance enters your heart. You know, it's an understanding. Because at times you can even be in a near-death experience and you will still believe you cannot die. Because of what God spoke inside you. I can't die. God said I will live. I can't die. It's not just a scripture in the Bible. It's in your heart. That's become life inside you. God will say amen. I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So look at. So in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer, what, and petition, with thanks, continue to what? Known to God. Let's check message for that verse. Let's just add to our knowledge. Take me back to verse 6 and let's see. Can we get a message translation? Okay. Are we learning anything this morning? Okay. Let's see a message translation. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Are you seeing that? So when you worry, what are you supposed to do? So, amen. Some of you that like worrying. Some people, you worry for everything. You worry for yourself, you worry for people, you worry for Nigeria, you worry for everything. You worry for the future. The worry that has not come. You went to the future, you brought the worry to the present. So anytime you are worrying, it means you are not prayerful. That's just the truth. Prayerful people don't get worried. Write that down. Prayerful people don't get worried. They don't get worried. They have confidence in God. They have secured confidence in God in prayer. So don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and what? Praises shape what? Worries into what? Prayers. Beautiful. Let petitions and praises, that's Thanksgiving. You know, this Thanksgiving thing, we still have to teach it more and more. It's a culture of the spirit. Naturally, most Christians are not given to what I call habitual thanksgiving. What I mean habitual, I'm not talking about what you do only in Thanksgiving service. Thanksgiving habitually on a daily basis. Father, I give you thanks. I bless your name. Thank you. You are good. I count my blessings. I name them one by one. Thank you for giving me the breath of life. Thank you, Lord God, for being good to me, keeping me, protecting me much more. The work that you have done in that you're doing in my soul. Thank you, Lord God, for causing me to even believe in you. Because without you, I wouldn't have done it. I'm thanking you for this. Thanking you for that. You count those things and thank God. We would rather look for things that God has not done and begin to lambash. You scabash. Don't you think about it? As a parent, will you be motivated to do something for a child if he thanks you for the things you have done? Just think about it. As a parent. In those days, that's how they trained us. Oh, you try, this generation, you teach them a lot. In those days, the first thing you do when your daddy pays your school fees is that you thank him. Today, children don't do that. But we have to train our children. We have to train them. When my daddy beats you, you thank him in the morning. Yes, we're trained that way. Well, the Lord will help us. Amen. Yes. You know, when it comes to parenting, something that all of us are still learning, even myself inclusive. You know, I was just looking at it and, you know, in Family Life Summit, it's going to be an holistic summit this year. We'll be considering many areas. We'll be having workshops. You know, I found out that, yes, there are certain things that we learned that we felt that our children cannot take. We just assumed. We just assumed that they cannot take it. But the truth is that if we keep thinking that way, there will be a lot of gap. And that is what is happening. You know that quality of education is reducing because of quality of teachers themselves are reducing. Look at it. If you're a teacher, think about your own teacher. How they were. You know those days, you know the teachers. My mother-in-law is a teacher. She's disciplined, comfy God. No mess. So, but you know, at times maybe we felt that those ways were hard. So we tried to modernize it. But I know something that we have gaps in every sector. In every sector. In fact, if you look at every sector of human life, they are complaining that quality is going down. Yeah. It's not even only in Nigeria alone, it's everywhere. Even in developed countries, it's happening. So we need to go back and get the old ways so that we will not lose a generation. Can we say amen? Amen. So before you know it, a sense of God's word, wholeness, everything wants, coming together for good, will come and what? You down. A sense of God's wholeness. So what you call the peace of God, that surpasses what? Knowledge. That is what it's a sense. I like the word a sense, because what you're going to feel is that assurance of God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So don't just make assumption. You have to grow to a point where you have assurance. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Now, there was a time in my life I had a sickness. About 5 years ago. And the sickness had no cure. Medically. And of course, when you there were there, you have a sickness. That has no cure. Say, doctor said you will live with it. I said, Jesus is an healer.
Yes, sir.
Simple thing. That was the doctor's report. This is Jesus' report. I took scriptures and I prayed. I prayed, listen to scripture. I prayed, listen to scripture. I prayed, you know, until the condition disappeared. I can't remember when last 5 years. It was a very funny condition where when I stand, everything will be rolling. Things will be spinning. The first time it happened to me, I was screaming. I've never seen that kind of thing before. A lot of times it can happen to you where you are driving. Everything just starts spinning. It spins as... You understand? So the first night I was preaching in Ananias 2018 was happening. Nobody knew. But I think my wife knew. I just stood on one place. I was praying in the spirit and I was also ministering. Until the thing went down. Someone now say, you manage with that one. When you don't know when the thing will catch you. How can I manage that one? But I know that God is an healer. So I went to scriptures. I took healing scriptures. Kennedy again. I was listening to it about 3 times a day. Morning dose, afternoon dose, night dose. I wrote down every scripture. And I meditated upon it. And I approached God in prayer. Actually, I've said that I don't need to pray. I'm a man of God. I'm a word of righteousness minister. I don't make those assumptions. I have to communicate to God concerning the promises He has for my health. And I took that bill in the spirit and I held it. And I got my healing. So you see what I'm teaching you now. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So that's where persistent in prayer comes in, okay? So at times you deal with resistance in the head. There's resistance in the air also. I think I taught you that when I was teaching maintaining open heavens. So at times you will pray, you sense resistance not in you but in the air. Most of the time most times they are in intercession. Maybe you are praying for the church or praying for the nation. At times you pray and you sense some opposition in the air. For instance, when it comes to praying for Nigeria at times, there's a lot of opposition. If you are a consistent intercessor for Nigeria, you know that at times you face some blockade. You face spirits intercepting prayer. So at times you can even get assaulted by praying. If you are interceding on a matter, you feel assault on your body. It's just to wear you down not to pray. So you have all those kind of things and you must understand why you need to be persistent in prayer. Oh, can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen. So we must secure our receiving from God in prayer by abiding in Him. Take me to John 15, verse 7. Now, before we do John 15, verse 7, let's do John 11, verse 41 to 42 first. We secure our receiving from God in prayer. But I want you to see a scripture here. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father. Now look at that word. You can see a relationship. Fellowship with God. I said the basis of prayer is communion and fellowship with God. Aha. I thank thee, for thou wast as aid me. Now, the reason why Jesus said this was because of what? The level of fellowship he had developed with God. This is what you call trust. Trust, I've told you, is stronger than faith. Faith is that I believe in you. Trust is that I know you. When you say I know you, it means that I have experienced your nature over time. I know you will always hear me. Based on fellowship. So Jesus had that fellowship with the Father. And it was a template for him ascending in prayer. Can we say amen? Amen. So that's why I tell you that, you know, the foundation of prayer is communion and fellowship. So many people see prayer as what they do. You see prayer as what you do. Prayer is not like that. Prayer is more of an outflow of fellowship with God. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It's very difficult to pray well if you don't know God. It will be tiring. You just be seeing prayer as a routine. A lot of people pray out of more of a routine, not out of desire for fellowship. You know that experience you feel when you pray? That sweet presence. Nothing can replace that thing. That sweet anointing, that flow of life, that joy you just feel when you pray. That flow, something just touches you. A scripture just gets activated. At times, God speaks to you. And you know, at times, when I stop praying and I just move, and you know, at times, God speaks to me while I'm praying. At times, when I stop that prayer physically, fellowship continues. There's nothing that can replace that. And you must know that. So, prayer is not what you do. Abba Shatta! It's not that. It's more of a connection to God. A fellowship with God that flows out. So that's why when I was teaching all types of prayer, because I've taught you all types of prayer. I think I taught you about 6 or 7. You need to be able to pray all types of prayer. But the foundation of all types of prayer is communion and fellowship with God. You cannot intercede without communion. You cannot do petition without communion. You cannot do supplication without communion. Amen. Okay, let's have that. Okay.
Lord Jesus. Oh, halamini kestavana halia baria senza atisia. Is a call. Is a call. Oh, he's a call. He's a clearing call. He's a clearing call. He's a clearing call for you to come. For I'm waiting. Even I'm waiting. Even I'm waiting. Even I'm waiting, for there are many things, even many things undone. There are many things I want to do. There are many things I want to show you. There are many things I want to batch forth. There are many things I want to bring forth. There are many things I want to birth, even in you. Even in you. Even in you. There are many things I want to speak. I want to speak. I want to speak. I want to speak to you. I want to speak to you. There are many things. Many, 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 many things. Many things that you are lost from. Many things that you are cut off from. Because you are not yielding to the call, even to the call to come to fellowship, to the call to come to fellowship, to the call to come to fellowship, the call to come to fellowship. It's a clearing call. It's a clearing call. It's a clearing call for you to come to that place, that secret place, that secret place, that secret place, even the place of secret, even the place of secret, for there are many secrets I want to give to you, even secret things, that you know not of, secret things that you know not of. Secret things that you know not of. Call unto me. Call unto me. Come, call. Is it come, call? I am calling you to come and call me. Even come, call me.
Come call me. I'm waiting for you to call me. For I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. For there are things I want to say to you. I want to say things to you. I want to tell you things. I want to tell you things. I want to tell you things. Even those questions, even those things that have harassed your heart, even those things that have beguiled you. Oh, I have the answers. I have the answers. I have the answers. For even the place of prayer, I will show you a way of escape.
Amen.
I will show you a way of escape. I will show you a way of escape. How to overcome. How to overcome. Even how to excel. Even how to excel concerning those matters. Even concerning those matters that you think they are too much. You think that they are mountains. They are not really mountains. It's because you have not seen me. It's because you have not understood my ways. That's why you see them as mountains. But I'm bigger than those mountains. When you see me, you will no longer see those mountains. When you see me, you no longer see those challenges. It's because you are not seeing me. That's why you are seeing those challenges. Come and see me. Come and fellowship with me. Come in.
Amen.
Come into that secret place. Come into that secret place and you experience liberty. See the Lord.
So look at that, John 11. So, Father, thank you because you always, thou has had me. Look at that. Okay? So that's built on fellowship with God. I just wanted to point that out. Can we say amen? Now look at the next verse. It says, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Two things. Thou hearest me always. So that's built on an understanding of God's person. What did I say that is built on? 1 John chapter 5 verse 13. And this is the confidence that we have when we pray according to his will. He heareth us. This is the confidence. So that confidence is not arrogance. That confidence is faith. Or we can say trust. Because trust, like I said, is stronger than faith. Trust is faith that has love. So charity is trust. Yes, charity is actually trust. But, you know, somebody that has come into charity has come into a higher measure of faith because there is love inside. Based on the fact that you have known God. Okay? So then this is the confidence that we have in him, that anytime we pray according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if you know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have petitions that what? We desired of him. So, now look at John chapter 15. And let me establish this also. John 15 verse 7. So I want you to come to a place where you develop this kind of relationship with God. Where you always know that God hears you. This thing is a spiritual science. I don't approach God in prayer like I don't know. Are you there? You understand? No, it doesn't happen like that. When I enter into God in prayer. At times when I enter into God in prayer, God speaks to me. I'll know if I need to pray on that thing or not. The day we lost Eben, Eben was shot, one of our brothers, we lost Eben. And we were called in 2 o'clock in the midnight that he needed blood and we were running around to get blood for him. So by the time we got to the hospital, I met the doctor. And the doctor is one of those UI students that ministered to him. So when he saw me, he called me, he saw me, man of God, this and that. I said, what's our patient doing? He said he's dead. So when he said that, I was thinking, should I pray? I was thinking, can I pray? Because there's nothing God cannot do. So by the time I was approaching where his body was, of course, his elder brother was already feeling like he will resurrect him. And there's nothing bad. But I also understand that God has to speak. So by the time I was going that, God, can I pray? God says he's gone. Now, if God tells me he's gone, and I don't say I want to pray, I'm on my own, sir. I ask God, because of course I have that level of relationship with God. Is this a matter that we can still pray on? And God says it's gone. Don't bother. I've taken him home. Of course, it's difficult to tell the brother. So the brother said, so the brother went to meet his body and was praying. Praying. So I kept my cool. Somebody can look at this pastor does not have faith. No, it's not a product of faith. What is directing all those things is leading of the Spirit. It's understanding. You must know God to that point where you know what to do. If it's an issue that we can pray concerning. This is one many prayer people don't understand. And I don't even believe there are prayer people. I don't like hearing that thing. We are prayer people. You understand? Anybody that understands the word must be praying. And anybody that is praying must be a man of the word. Don't separate the word and prayer. There's no prayer movement or word movement. Can we say amen? You can get angry if maybe you believe that you are called to the ministry of prayer. So you must grow in the fellowship with God that you know. The Lord will tell you concerning certain things and you will know. It's not weakness. So Jesus said, Father, I know that thou always heard me. He grew to that point where he knew that God will always hear him. Let me tell you one of the reasons why. Jesus had grown to live in accordance with the Father's will. He had grown pleasing the Father. Now you see that also in John 15 verse 7. Look at John 15 verse 7. So you can get that. You can secure yourself in prayers based on fellowship and knowing of God. And so I believe that the stronger you know God, the easier prayer, the easier your heavens open concerning prayer. You have access easily. You know, some people say, I hear some messages. I say, you have to pray 14 hours for certain heavens to open. It depends on your technology. Your technology is a product of your understanding and your stature. Yes. Some other person will enter that place and will speak and the heavens will open. Yes, because they have grown. And that's why I said that that's the best way. When you know God, some people, they only pray, they don't know God.
Yes, sir.
Prayer is disconnected from their walk with God. But I've told you that prayer is integral in your walk with God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, are you following me? Look at, so if you abide in me and look at that. If you abide in me and my words in you, you shall what? Ask what ye will. And it shall be done to you. Now this is the interesting thing. To see this scripture in the right context, you must understand what it means to abide in him and his words in you. The word abiding means from the Greek word called meno. And it means to remain. It means to be established in his presence. Okay? It means to tarry, not to depart. So you see, for that thing to become a reality, you have abided. And his words are in you. So if his words are in you, automatically you will know his will. Because you know, this is not just an open ticket to hacks. Anything. That anything is still based on the concept of abiding. And his words being abiding where? In you. It means when his words is abiding in you, you know what to ask. You know what to ask. Are you with me?
Yes,
if ye abide in me and my words in you, ye shall ask what you will. So what will shape your will is his words that are abiding in you. It will frame your will. And it shall be done to you. Done unto you. Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So, you abide in him when you walk in truth to the point where truth gets integrated in your personality. That's the joy of prayer. You see, so prayer is a journey also. Prayer is not just an event. So, you know, I've taught you about praying consistently, praying intermittently, and praying undistracted. Now, I'm adding to that. Prayer is also a journey of growth. What did I say prayer is? You also journey in prayer, in growth. You are growing in prayer. You are growing in prayer access. Yes. When you come to a certain level of stature with God, you will say some things and it will be done. You will have more access. Something like, Iya Debe will just say something. My father said this and it's done. Is access. You culture some kind of access over years of growing. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So certain level of authority will rest on you. So all these things, you must understand the template and how they operate.
Hallelujah. So prayer is our connection to the will and purpose of God. And God is not instructing us to pray, or they are not teaching us to pray, because God wants us to just while away time. The reason why we are taught to pray, or Jesus taught his disciples to pray, so that they can get the benefits of praying. Can we say amen?
Amen?
So prayer has benefits. It has promises. It has rewards. And I've taught you some of them this morning. Prayer changes you. Prayer is transformative. Prayer gets you closer to God. Many other things I've taught. God answers prayer done according to his will. Prayers done effectively, God answers them according to his will. And we are guaranteed that we are guaranteed of the benefits of prayer from God when we pray according to his will. So we, part of the template of prayer is to understand God's will, understand his plan and his purposes. Okay? In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, we see the church. I'm just showing you, I'm adding to what I said, that why we also are persistent in prayer. Look at that. Amen. Because this should help us. This is now where prayer stretch comes in. You know, I told you last week that I wanted to tell you about the place of prayer stretch. Praying in prayer stretch. This is where prayer stretch comes in. There's a place for that. Start from verse 1. You need to understand where prayer stretch comes in. Prayer stretch is not just to prove a point that we can pray. Prayer stretch is there's a, when there's a need for it. But for you to come into prayer stretch, you must have developed prayer lifestyle over time. Then at times God will move you to stretch in prayer based on a need. Not based to prove a point. So you come and tell people that if you don't pray for 24 hours, you have not started praying. All those things are not, they are just somehow. Now, about that time, Herod, the king, stretched forth his hands to vex Satan of the church. And he killed James. Look at that. The brother of John with the sword. That was an assault. Okay? And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further toward take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. Next verse, please. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in where? And delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So immediately he wanted to kill Peter. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer. Everybody say, but prayer. See, I want to show you that prayer can change things. Things change when we pray. So now I want to also show you that, like I told you last week, that prayer is partnership with what? With God. That things may not be done on earth until we pray. Now, someone says, but God is sovereign, God can move. Yes, God is sovereign, he moves. But I've noticed in understanding the ways of God, when God moves sovereignly over a thing, the thing is not yet established as an everlasting ordinance until people pray. There will still be a prayer depth. So men will still need to pray to secure God's purpose. Yes. That's why Jesus himself prayed. Men will need to pray to secure God's purpose. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So, but prayer was made without what? Oh, you didn't hear that. Prayer was made without what? Of the church on God. Don't you? That word without ceasing is what I'm interested in. It's from the Greek word called ektenes. It means stretched out. It's like you stretch an elastic. Stretch out, stretch forth. So prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him. They stretched in prayer. And when they stretched in prayer, you know what God? God used that prayer stretch to move over that situation. So it's as if at times God needs a certain measure of prayers to act on a matter. Let me say, I want you to, because some of us just feel we can afford not to pray. God may need a certain measure of prayer power generated to act on a matter. Now, the question I will ask concerning this matter is that, what if the church did not pray? What if you don't pray for your pastor? Have you ever thought about it?
What if you don't pray for your pastors and they are going through challenges and you don't pray for them? What if we don't pray? You know, what we will say is that Peter did not have faith. No, yes, that's how we interpret this. We'll say that Peter did not have faith. How can a man of God be killed? Where is his faith? But meanwhile, we don't know that that thing was not a personal faith thing. It was more of a corporate faith project of the church. So many people are failed because the church did not pray. Many things failed in the life of maybe a minister, a ministry, that it was not because of that minister, because his personal faith was not enough to push him through. So what do you say? That man, he said, Otijama Otishubu. Meanwhile, people did not pray. They didn't see that. So now if Peter died, it would have been a loss to the church. It's a loss to the church. I'm giving you reasons why you should pray. It will be a loss to the church. One of the greatest issues we have in the church is disconnection from purposes bigger than us. That's why we pray for the body of Christ. That's why we pray for some of the fathers in the body. Huh? Now, why will I pray for someone like Iyi Adeboye? Ask me. Because you see, I may not even meet him until Jesus comes. But there is a work Baba is doing in the body. And his presence in the body. Eh? For Church of Jesus in Nigeria, God must keep him. What I mean keep him? Keep him till the end of his course. Now if anything happens, God forbid to that, it affects the body negatively. Now think about that at several levels. Think of Daddy, Reverend K. Think of me. That's how you think. That's why prayers are offered. So selfish people don't pray. They think about themselves alone. And that's why they don't do great things eventually. Because if I'm thinking about myself, there are certain prayers I pray. I pray for the body of Christ from time to time. Pray for churches. Pray for ministries. Pray for ministers. Pray for ministers in the word of righteousness. Pray that God will keep them.
Amen.
I'm showing you why to pray. And that's why at times when you invest in prayer corporately, or you pray intercession in prayer, we were taught that when we were growing up as young Christians, that when we prayed for others, God will answer our prayers. So that was one of the things that helped us to pray less for ourselves. I'm giving you now a shortcut key. You know, I told you that you can pray for everything. And I'm telling you that when you're now involved in praying for others, there are things about yourself that God will answer. Because you have fulfilled a higher law in the spirit. Thank you. Yes, you have fulfilled a higher law in the spirit. You have prayed for others. And God just goes, this girl, I've been praying for the church, praying for this church, praying for this church. I will give her husband. And she didn't pray for husband, but she prayed for the church. She prayed for something higher. Okay, let's have that. I'm rounding up already. Let's have that. Who is taking it?
Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Alabone vera clad ishke bana hatatia. Vroni mene hande sipra kleteni ma chocho vermini ma haste bo clamoni. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, the Lord, I inspire this teaching. I inspire this teaching. I inspire this teaching because incense is not coming to me. Manahali ishte kapana nania. And Josevrana mohosta pokla nina mahashtia. Because I want to intervene in matters, but I don't have enough reasons to come in.
I want to intervene in many issues. I want to intervene even in the issues you caused. I want to intervene even in the issues that is by your own mistakes. I want to intervene even in issues that you are ignorant of. I want to intervene by bringing light for you to know what is right to do. I want to intervene by bringing strength for you to have enough strength to carry out my will. I want to intervene in your case, even beyond what you know. But I need incense. I need incense. I need incense. I want to intervene. I need incense. Hapanate di barashte bele kanania lechichapania. Enkropania labania. I need incense. I want to hear the cry of my people. I want to come down. I want to come down. I want to ride on your cry to come down. I want to come down. I want to hear the cry. I want to break that bondage away. Give me reasons to come. 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 Give me reasons to intervene. Give me reasons to come. Give me reasons to come. I want you to pray also because what is ahead? Come in. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come in. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hashtag balana mania kalada bagrushta kana manjezi varana maklada tasia. Hapana yalabate. Haklamone yalabate. Things are coming against you. Things are coming against you. Pray. Parono shishke fraklana mandeliganaya. Pray. Pray. So you'll be able to go through. Pray. Pray. So you will not faint. Pray, pray, so you'll be able to go through. It's coming against you. It's coming against you. And it can't be waged away. You have to go through it. You have to go through it. Pray, and I will energize you to go through it. Hear the Lord.
Can we all say amen?
Amen.
So we understand that I'm showing you the principle of watering and being watered back. When you pray concerning the purpose of God in intercession, God looks at you and fix things up for you. It just takes care of you. So there's a principle of that. You need to understand that. So while I'm teaching you to pray for everything, I'm also balancing it. There should not be overtaken alone by your own prayer. Just pray for yourself. Everything. You pray for yourself. Okay? You don't intercede for people. You don't intercede for brethren. You don't pray for the body of... In fact, you can also be taken over by praying only for our church. That's another level. You can even be taken over by praying only for this work. The word of righteousness work. No, it's not the only word of righteousness. Listen. It's not only work of righteousness that is in the church. There are people that I was still showing my wife this morning. There's a guy called Daniel Chand. He's an evangelist in London. The guy is getting people born again. Trafalgar Square, the old place being filled. Muslims getting born again. Don't you need that? That's a work that needs to prosper.
Huh?
A lot of Iranians are getting born again right now. Revival in Iran. We need to pray for that kind of thing. That's an harvest in the kingdom of God. We need to pray. So you can see that you cannot even center prayer on work of righteousness alone. We are not the only one in the body. At times, God will lead us to pray concerning some other things that He's using other ministers to do. You can now see prayer. God, empower this. Baba went to Philippines. That's a good prayer point. So I'm just showing you at times God will move you at times in prayer. That's why we do prayer for church and nations. Okay? And I want us to get better with these things. Pick burden for nations. Sometimes you can even pick burden for a nation that is not Nigeria. You know, when you pray for Nigeria at times, it's only Nigeria you pray for. Only Nigeria. But Nigeria is not the only nation on the earth. There are other nations of the earth that God will also cause us to raise intercession for. So, I'm showing you another side. And at times, when you intercede, maybe next week I'll teach on intercession.
Yes, sir.
When you intercede, intercession helps growth. I notice that now I'm teaching now from experience.
Yes,
intercession has helped my own walk with God. It helped me to grow. Because I just learned praying for church, praying for nations, praying for my pastors. I grew up learning to pray for my pastors. Praying for my leaders, praying for those in authority. Do you know that Paul says, first of all, you know, we are supposed to be praying for our leaders.
Amen, 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 amen. Now, you may not agree with me on this. We have a civil opinion. But we have to pray for our leaders. Now, well, this present government, maybe you did not agree the way they came in. They cheated. I'm not saying they didn't cheat. I mean, there are a lot of injustice done. But as it is now, we still have to pray. Also, the reason why I'm not praying for this government is because I don't believe in the way they came in. That's to me still looks personal. Can you believe? Do you know that there are many governments of the earth? You don't even know how they entered. You can't substantiate some things in the courts of God. We should still pray. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. We should still pray. In my own mind, and this is how I interpret things. When Paul said this, the guys that were there, some of them were emperors. Some of them perpetuated themselves in government. Of course, Rome had a democratic system, but at times, if you have watched some of the history of Rome, at times they had emperors that were just there. So, you understand that we still have to pray. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for those in authority. We need to pray for them regularly so that they will do the will of God. And for some of them that are unjust, we ask God to touch their heart and show them mercy, for them to repent. Now, when we are even praying for judgment concerning a king in government, is because he has done something wrong against the will of God. Like when the way Herod was attacking the church. You know, eventually God judged Herod in Acts chapter 12. And then in the time, I've taught you this, Nebuchadnezzar was already oppressing the will of God on the earth. And a judgment came from the holy watchers in Daniel chapter 4. And they cut him down. So even that needs judgment. We need to know, our leaders and the one to direct us, this is when we start praying these kind of prayers to a government. Not emotional thing. At times, the church can bear a government. Oh, you didn't hear that. Pastor, I watched a movie concerning this movie I wanted to make on Paul. And there was a time they were persecuting the church, and the church came to meet Paul and said, let's start fighting back. Paul says, no, love is the way. Those apostles will have been strong men. Because they went through persecution. I mean, it means that, how were they coping? They were killing them every day. You don't understand? They were killing brethren every day. And there was a kind of judgment that sustained them through that time. Do you think that Paul will have hated the emperors? They were still trusting. You know the way Paul was approaching Agrippa? He was preaching to him that he can change him. Those men were terrible men. An apostle of the New Testament is a being of love. Complete one. He's even looking at how his enemy can be converted. So like Paul, we even have mercy because he was once a persecutor of the church. So you know that there's nobody God cannot turn. That is the heart we have first. So I know that believers in Nigeria, we don't have forbearance. A little thing will start cursing government. Where did you get that from? Say they are cursed. You don't understand that some of those things. Whatever you do, let's have template for it in scripture. Am I talking well, sir? We have to forbear at times from government until heaven now directs us that their cup is full. That their cup of iniquity is full. Then we cannot know what to do at that time. Not you judging that they are. Not it's you that determine that their cup is full. Because you cannot bear it again. At times, God can allow a government for a season to cause the church to awake. You don't know God's ways. At times, a church in a nation can be sleeping. And what they need to awake is a kind of government that will make them pray. After God judges his church, he will now face that government. Yeah. If the government does not repent. So we must understand the systems of God's justice. Okay, let's have that. I thank God is speaking to us.
Holy Shia Labakana Tacha Chivra Namana Halka Korea. Pisobenamina Halika Povsenia. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sabone Mia, my people. It's about my people. Maramonia people, my people, my people. My people, my people, my people. It's upon you, my people. It's upon you, my people. It's on my people. It's about my people. In my eyes on my people. In my eyes on my people. My eyes on my people. My eyes on my people. It's because of my people. It's because of my people. Hemofarana malishi kaparana neste kaponi alabani alabashte ganamani alabani alagadabashte gaboniya. See, the Lord, it's not difficult for me to turn around the nation. It's not difficult for me to affect leadership. It's not difficult for me to turn around the nation. But my people, it's my people. My eyes is on my people. My yeah. state of my people. Yeah. It's my state of my people. It's the state of my people. I want my state. I want the state of my people to change. I want the state of my people to change. I am determined to use anything to wake them up. I am determined to use anything to wake them up. I am determined to use anything to make them wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up into the season, my season. Wake up into my season. Wake up into my season. Wake up into my season. Aporiana malash de gabani alabanglanis de fari alabanana mosh de ghania. Anything that will make my people come alive, I will allow it. Anything that will make my people come alive, I will allow it. I will allow it. Anything that will make my people journey again, I will allow it. Anything that will make my people be tired, staying in darkness, I will allow it. I want to journey. I want you many here to journey. I'll allow it for you to journey. I will allow it for you to move. I will allow it for you to be tired for where you are sitting. I will allow it for you to move. Help me here move. Journey. 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 Agree with me. Agree with me. It won't take me time to change the leaders. It won't take me time to touch them. But it is you first. It is you first. If my people who are called by yeah. my name.
Yeah.
It's my people. It's my people.
Amen.
You are the one. It's my people. Take eyes away. Look at yourself. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you who know my ways. It's you who know my light. It's you. It's you first. It's you first. And when you align, oh, everything will align.
Amen. So there is a measure of breakthrough and authority we can have in the airspace of Nigeria, because the people are properly aligned. That's what that tongue is saying. And this is a scripture that came into my heart. So I am trusting that, you know, we can harvest certain measure of obedience in the spirit. I'm not hearing, can we say amen?
Amen?
If we want certain changes in the land. Now, prayer is a high demonstration of humility and dependence on God. And you know, praying is disconnected. It's not disconnected from obedience. So the church in Nigeria, there are certain things God is expecting from the church in Nigeria. And it's not making us have so much breakthrough in the heavens concerning the matter of the land. There are issues that the Lord himself wants to deal with. See, let me tell you. Let me round up with this. God cannot deal with corruption in Nigeria if there is corruption in the church. The same thing that is wrong with the nation is wrong with the church. The Lord will not first act on the nation. He will first act on the church. Peter said, judgment must begin from the house of God. So there are things that God has not corrected in Nigeria, in Nigerian yet, because those things are also strong in the church. Maybe the same level, probably not even more stronger. So God does not have a legal. You see, so I'm understanding this is, they are legal. You know, I taught you that there's a legal aspect of prayer. There are legalities. God always wants to get involved, but he cannot get involved because the platform to move is not yet there. And so, but what about the people that are doing well? Probably it's not commensurate. Have you ever thought of that? Look at the intercession of Abraham. God says, okay, I will judge Sodom.
And Abraham started interceding for a certain requirement for God not to do it. Remember, it is not Abraham that will determine who is righteous or not. God has his own standard. So, Abraham interceded and reduced it to how many? Is it 10? To 10. So it means that there was no 10. Let's now use that 10, not just in numbers, 10%. There is no 10% righteousness. There's no 10%. There's no tithe that God can move over and say, okay, I'm not judging Sodom. So you can see at times that the reason why God is limited to move, there's no just ground yet. We have to read it like that. So probably in Nigeria, I believe that God is expecting a lot of turning to righteousness from the church, a lot of repentance from the church. A lot of changing. A lot of things are happening. You know, when I got born again, in the 90s, you tell people, when you get born again, join a Bible-believing church. I can't do that again. When there's in the Boski. No, we have to tell ourselves the truth. I can't tell you go to any church. Like, I can't do that. I will tell you in places I know that the word is being taught. Undiluted. There are many places, plenty, that the word is not being taught diluted, undiluted. All kind of things are happening that is heartbreaking. So, if my people who are called by my name should humble themselves and what? And pray. So, you see, prayer is a demonstration of humility and dependence on God. Now, prayer for nation is also like that. So when we are not praying for a nation, we are not humble. Is it that we are not humble? Is it part of the fact that we are not humble? Because we don't trust that God can still change things through prayer. When you give up on prayer, you are saying, God, that's the end. And seek my face. And what? Turn from their wicked ways. Is this people that needs to turn from their wicked ways? Is this people that need to turn from their wicked ways? Then I will hear from heaven. So the condition from hearing from heaven is that these people will turn out from what? Their wicked ways. They'll repent. So repentance opens what? The heavens. This same thing is consistent. The reason why the Bible says that husbands should dwell with their wives on knowledge is so that they can have what? Open heavens. Their prayers will not be hindered. Meaning if there is debt, the heavens will not be open. If you don't deal with your wife with knowledge and she's offended, Satan can use that as a legal ground to hinder the prayers of that family. So you understand? Yeah, that's a legal ground. Probably there's an accusation going on. The reason why they should not answer the prayer, because somebody is hurt in the family. So prayer will not ascend. A lot of men have shot themselves in the foot by not treating their wives well. And they will not have breakthrough. It's not a way. Yes, they can't have breakthrough. Satan will stand there. And that's a legal ground. You have given the legal ground for Satan to stop making sure that the prayers of your home is not heard. So you deal with your wife in knowledge. You walk in love with her. If she's not doing well, dwell with her in peace. She doesn't need to be perfect for you to love her. That's not the condition for dwelling in peace with the wife is not that she's doing well. You need wisdom to manage her. When you manage her well, your heavens will be open. Then part of your open heavens will secure that she will change. So you cannot afford to have closed heavens. If you don't know this, you will make mistake. And Satan will daru for you. So the same thing for Nigeria. We need open heavens. So we cannot be fighting Tinubu and what open heavens. Is it the same thing? Now, do I like what this government did when they entered? No. Absolutely no. I believe the elections was not free and fair. There was a lot of injustice done. But that will not stop me from praying. They are in government. They are determining the decision for the land. I cannot stop praying because I don't like the government. I still need to stand on my watch in prayer. Oh, you didn't hear that. Because I know that many Christians stop praying. Stop praying. They're angry. You're offended. Satan won. Or Satan is winning. If you continue like that, this government will stay longer. And there's nothing we can do. Just get angry and you leave the country and go to another country. And when you get there, your suffering continues. That's not God's will. So, don't you think that we'd rather pray? We should still keep praying. So we still pray for this government.
Amen.
That the things that God needs to correct, it will correct.
Yes,
in the government. We pray for them. We still keep praying that they will, their hearts will turn to do the will of God.
Amen.
You know, somebody can get to a place and change, have a change of heart. Even though he didn't get there rightly.
Very, very
he got there by mafiaism. But when he gets there, he can have a change of heart.
Yes.
And he want to correct his wrong. And start doing things right. That's the only thing we have. To pray.
Hallelujah.
Don't you think that if God catches some of those people, don't you think that it's going to make things, it will be very interesting.
Yeah.
Imagine Tinubu changes.
Come over. That's a game.
And turns to God. Imagine. Is that not a game? Just imagine it. I said, like, guys, I want a rubber vision. No, don't think like that. God can touch their hearts. Say, these guys are evil. They're already evil. I'm not saying they are not evil. I'm only saying give God a chance. Let's give God a chance. And trust God that God can still use what is available to touch the land. Amen. So God says, I will hear from heaven and I will what? Heal their land. So that's the power. So I'll continue with intercession next week, right? Praying and interceding. Can we begin to talk to God? Let's begin to talk to God. Father, we give you thanks. Can we thank the Lord for blessing us again this morning? I believe the Lord has done that. Let's just begin to thank Him. Let's begin to thank Him. Let us begin to thank Him. Let us begin to thank Him.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygateschurch.org. God bless you.